You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
National Egg Day today. Agriculture, man, has been such a vital part of Montana, hasn't it? I know it's our number one economic driver, but egg, the value is measured in more than just dollars and cents. Don't you think? I mean, it's where we learned to be good neighbors, how to pitch in. It's where we learn to be fair and honest with each other. And those, what about that work ethic? Long days can lead to hopefully a satisfying night's rest. You work hard and you be at peace about it. There's a lot that we can trace our Montana way of life to our rural roots. And we're going to do that here today. I also think that our rural roots keep us close to God. I mean, how many times is a farmer praying for things that are out of his hands? So, give us this day our daily bread and corn and beans and tomatoes, potatoes and roast beef and chicken, and let's celebrate it today here on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483. Or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you, most excellent in-studio producer, Josh Rath. A bit of a robot today. Okay, he's here. Yeah. Got to hear from Josh. Hey, thank you guys for being here. Appreciate that. That's two decades strong. Working on three and working hard. I hope, as you know, issue-oriented. We are objective. That's Voices of Montana. And today, it's going to be a little bit, maybe a whole lot, about agriculture. National Ag Day. And honestly, okay, I know, as you know, I'm pretty transparent. I talk about it here. We do a lot of news issues, a lot of issue-oriented stuff here. Policymakers and from Montana, for Montana. But this network was based on, I'll just say it this way, there are a ton of farm broadcasters running around here. And if it's National Egg Day, you can sure as heck know that I know about that. And it's something to celebrate. It really is. I mean, we look at how important it is to Montanans. There's 27,000 farms and ranches in Montana. 3.4 million U.S. farmers and ranchers. And they work on 2 million farms and ranches. Here's another thing that you might be surprised. 98% of all U.S. farms are owned by individuals, family partnerships, family corporations, and just 2% of America's farms and ranches are owned by non-family corporations or other entities. We talk about our rural way of life. We talk about our Montana way of life. I think we have to go back to our roots there, and we do that. I mean, heck, I'm married to a farm girl. How about you, Mike Foster? You married to a farm girl?
A ranch girl.
Yeah,
how's that?
That's close enough. That's what we're talking about. Mike Foster is with us, director of Montana Department of Agriculture that operates some more than 30 programs. I think it's pretty cool that many of those are funded entirely by user fees. Before being appointed as the director, worked with the Montana Farm Service Agency. And just a long history of Montana, Mike, Townsend native. What was it like growing up in Townsend? Obviously, very rural Montana area.
Well, Tom, I was blessed. Townsend was a tremendous place to grow up. It's an ag-centered community, small town, you know, all the natural resources. We had logging and mining, and of course, farming and ranching was the base of our economy and everybody's friends and teammates and classmates. It was great. Townsend Bulldogs.
Yeah. Well, now that you mentioned that, I mean, I'll talk about this. You went to school, got a teaching degree in Dillon at Western Montana College, also business administration from Carroll College, your master's degree in public administration from the University of Montana. So what are you? You're a Bulldog. Are you a Saint? Are you a Grizzly?
Well, actually, I'm mostly a Bobcat.
Okay. Attaboy. Good job. Yeah. I thought you were going to maybe take the diplomatic answer there, and I'm all of them, and I support all of them, and I know you do.
Well, I do support, you know, I root for all those teams that I've been associated with, but my family is all Bobcats, and I love the Bobcats, big fan of MSU, and in fact, we live in Bozeman, so we have to go to football games and all that.
My condolences, sir. and you get that from time to time, too. What does National Ag Day mean to Mike Foster? What does it mean to the Montana Department of agriculture. What does it mean to Montana?
A celebration. And actually, I loved your introduction. I thought it was great, Tom. Captured a lot of my thoughts, and I think Montanans' thoughts. Actually, every day is Ag Day. But what's really special about this week is we get to really focus in on it, recognize the great things that agriculture does for Montana and all our people. And Governor Gianforte kicked it off this weekend when he declared Montana Meat Day. And then he's also declared this to be Montana Ag Appreciation Week. So we're celebrating all week long, and there's so much about agriculture that we can celebrate. When you think about the world-class products that our farmers and ranchers produce, the beef, the cat, the wheat, the barley, the pulse crops, the list goes on and on, really, of the amazing farm products that we have and the livestock. It's incredible. But as you mentioned, you also get the lifestyle that goes with it, the work ethic and the camaraderie. I mean, it's great. Anytime you're around ag people in Montana, it's special. It is great.
Mike Foster with us, director of the Montana Department of Agriculture, newly appointed. I think the first directorship that Governor Greg Gianforte had appointed to the many agencies in Montana. A long list of world-class commodities. What makes Montana products world-class, Mike?
Well, I mean, you can look at the scientific aspect of it with our climate and the seed research that goes in, and as well as for our livestock and all that. But by and large, it's because our farmers and ranchers have such a great attitude about getting it done and doing it right and creating these extremely high quality products. So it's really the farmers and ranchers that deserve the most credit.
I know that one of the missions for the Department of Agriculture, and in fact, one of Governor Greg Gianforte's missions, is going to really increase the marketability of Montana products. What have we been doing right? What can we do better? Or what's outside the box that we're going to try to increase our exports and also the marketability, the value of our Montana agriculture?
Well, as you can imagine, I'm very honored to be part of Governor Gianforte's team. And he and I are on the same page about how important agriculture is in Montana for our economy, for our lifestyle, everything about it. But also when you think about how we market our products, we always have to work harder to make sure that the world gets to share in the tremendous benefits that we get from agriculture. And with our department, I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with how dedicated our employees are to helping agriculture succeed. And so when it comes to promoting, we are on the forefront saying, you know, we want the world to know what great things we have, and we will help pull things together with promotions and acting as a catalyst in bringing people together when you want to talk about value added, because, of course, that's where Montana can take the next step, is to increase the number of value-added products we have in agriculture. So we have a great grant program called Growth Through Agriculture, and we are able to help there. We certainly helped with meat processing before I got there. They did a great job on that. And now with this money that's coming in through the America Rescue Plan Act, we have been successful in putting together a proposal so far in the legislative process, and we call it the Montana Agriculture Resiliency Grant Program. And at this point, so far, the legislature is agreeing that of that federal money that's going to be coming to Montana, and there's a whole bunch of it, that our department would get to administer $50 million.
Wow.
That would be used to pursue the dreams that we're talking about. And we've got, you know, three different tiers of the kind of projects that we would help fund through an application process and all that. But we've taken the approach of using that money to sink it into our economy so that it benefits agriculture in Montana and our economy as a whole. So, you know, we have the smaller projects that are aimed at local produce and protein production and distribution. Then we have the mid-sized projects that are aimed at on-farm storage. So there you're talking about grain bins, feed bunks, pasture improvements, and then just helping to better weather the market volatilities because storage becomes a big problem. And then there's the Tier C, that they're the big projects. And we call this the supply chain infrastructure. So this is where people get to be creative and see what we can do to benefit what we need in this state regarding things such as loading facilities, feedlot expansions, pulse processing facilities, grain elevator enhancements, potato processing facilities, rendering plants. I mean, the list goes on. And again, we're not limited to what I just said.
Yeah.
We want people to come forward with the kinds of ideas that will really move Montana to that next step, that we're not just producing the greatest raw products in the world, but we're also doing some processing of that and helping ourselves with, for instance, in the livestock world, we ship all our calves to the Midwest. Well, maybe we can do some of that ourselves.
Yeah. Mike, I appreciate that answer. As you mentioned, think it into the economy. And then you talked about ways where you can do that at many different levels. I want to ask the question about $50 million to be allocated, I think, out of the near $3 billion coming from this latest COVID-19 relief package. Need it or not, it's coming. And if we don't use it, other states will apply for it. And I think Montana has about $700, maybe $800 million, if I'm not mistaken, of discretionary spending. The question then I want to ask is, what about the St. Mary's infrastructure? I know that Governor Gianforte had talked about that being a very high infrastructure concern. Is there discussion about doing more than just a Band-Aid approach? I know you want the federal government to take care of that because that's their project, and they should. The bill on that's $200 million. There's not that much to go around in Montana. Has there been some discussion about, and I might not have left you enough time in this break. We got about a minute here before that, but what's the discussion there about St. Mary's?
I'll make it quick. Yes, there's a lot of discussion about St. Mary's and other irrigation projects around the state, too, and, you know, districts, canals, you name it. But you are absolutely right. There's limited money, but we're setting up a separate pot of money to address that. And so that's not going to be part of what we're doing with the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be administered by the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation.
Okay.
But the whole point will be to address St. Mary's and some of these other projects. And again, it depends on legislative approval and that whole process, but that's our thinking at this point.
Great.
We want to help.
I appreciate that. Keep me up to speed on that, or I'll probably be knocking on your door for information on that. We've covered that issue since that major breakdown last year, and they got it corrected in record time, and I know a lot of agencies help with that too, but that's, again, not the entirety of the fix that's needed there. We're back with more. Lots to talk about. National Ag Day. Mike Foster, Director of the Montana Department of Agriculture, with us here today on Voices. All right, National Ag Day. Lots of facts and statistics about our ag in Montana. At times it can be worth $2 billion. Good years it can be worth $4 billion. And that's sort of the thing about agriculture, as we talked about. A lot of things are out of your hands, so I think you find yourself on your knees an awful lot when you're in that industry. I had one farmer up in Glasgow a while ago I talked to. This was a couple of years ago. I won't give his name, but he had talked about how every year, and this is when poker is big, it's still big, every year you're all in on a $1 million hand, and you don't even get to look at your cards, really, before you're forced to play it. It's really an industry that people love. You're in it because you love it. And we're celebrating that National Ag Day today. Chuck Deneau is going to join us a bit later on. Mike Foster is with us, Director of the Montana Department of Agriculture, former FSA, and that is the Farm Service Agency Director for, I think it was like almost 3 years coming into this position. Mike, thanks again for being here. Happy National Ag Day to all. What do you take away from that position as Director of FSA into this one?
Well, thank you, Tom. And the approach that I took with FSA, which I loved that job, I loved working with the farmers and ranchers at the different ag groups, and actually the staff for FSA, great people, very dedicated to help agriculture. And that was my whole approach, as I said, look, we're here to help however we can because we want agriculture to succeed in Montana. And so when we were faced with DC decisions that didn't fit well with us, we fought them. And in the case of livestock loss, we won in a big way that was very helpful to the livestock industry in Montana. You will recall the horrible blizzards that that occurred and had devastating effects on the herds in Montana. And so, you know, that was one way that we were able to help, and it made me very happy to do that. And that, you know, just carrying forward into this new job, the relationships that I've developed through many years, and, you know, starting in the legislature, really was when I worked very closely with the ag groups. And at FSA, I did the same, and now that is continuing. And I think that is a very important part of what the Montana Department of Agriculture should be doing, is to have those strong relationships so that we are helping everyone to succeed in agriculture.
Mike represented in the past District 32 in the Montana House, and also Senate District 20, as you referenced the legislature there, experience with that. How's this 2021 to 67th legislative session faring out for farmers?
Well, I think very well. Governor Gianforte has been pushing some tax bills that should prove very beneficial to farmers and ranchers and our economy as a whole. That's just one example. And really with the Department of Agriculture budget, I think there's a high level of respect in the legislature for what we try to do in helping agriculture. So we're doing all right so far in that front. And I mean, every session is different, as you know, but so far this one is moving along well. And I think a little adjustment period for working with a Republican governor. So I'm very positive about how this is going, where it's going to end up.
The theme this year for National Ag Day is food brings everyone to the table. And I know Montana farmers and U.S. farmers, they produce enough food and fiber for about 166 people. Of those, 106 are in the U.S., 60 are outside the U.S. But I want to talk about bringing everyone to the table, because there are many challenges in our ag industry, and some of them come from perhaps an environmental community that doesn't understand it, maybe has an extreme agenda to one side. But bringing those groups to the table is, I think, important. Or do you think how important that is, and how successful will that be in working with everybody at the table to move agriculture forward in Montana?
Well, I think you're correct that the more people can learn and understand about the way agriculture works, then the greater appreciation they have for it. And just so you know, on the floor of the House and the Senate today, the chairs of the House Ag Committee and the Senate Ag Committee are going to read a statement recognizing Ag Appreciation Day and the week. And so we're very proud of that. And then the governor is going to hold a roundtable tomorrow that we're very excited about, where some of the ag leaders are going to be in the Capitol with the governor discussing, you know, important ag issues. So I'm very excited to be part of that as well.
What's the takeaway from that roundtable tomorrow?
Again, it's that whole thing of, if we learn what people's concerns are or ideas are, then we can move forward in seeing what steps we can take to take us to those next levels where there's more success in Montana.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Let me ask one more question. I know you got to go, and I appreciate your time here today. Regulatory programs, it's been a part of the FSA, it's been a part of the national, the federal organization, of course, every state organization. We want to have appropriate regulations for consumer and producer safety, but yet not overburdensome regulations. Where are we at in that pendulum?
Well, it's a very important part, and the approach that we take with the Department of Agriculture is educate first, then regulate, because if people understand what they have to do, then it makes it easier, so there are much fewer violations. And in that process, we are able to learn which regulations and rules seem like they're redundant or unnecessary or really don't have any value. And that's part of my discussions with the various ag organizations across Montana, is to learn those things. And again, there have to be regulations for protections. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we can streamline what makes it work better.
I can appreciate that answer, too, and knowing Governor Gianforte, that's what I think his approach is to let's learn, let's research this, let's know what it is we're doing now before we take the next step forward. And so I look forward to those next steps, Mike, and chatting with you down the road.
Thank you very much, Tom.
On the table for you today? What are you eating for National Egg Day?
Well, I'm going to have some beef for lunch, and I think I'm going to have some chicken for dinner.
All right. I appreciate that. And in fact, that sounds good. Throw in a little bread, little beans, and...
All the fruits and vegetables, you bet.
Yeah. Great, Mike. Take care, okay? We'll see you down the road.
Sounds good, Tom. Thank you.
Director of Montana's Department of Agriculture, Mike Foster.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
27,000 farms and ranches in Montana. Our next guest grew up on one of them. 87% of U.S. egg products sold are produced on these family farms or ranches. Non-family corporations or other entities account for only 13% of U.S. egg product sales. I think we tend to forget that. We think of the world today of big business, and egg is big business. You can't plant a field without having a pretty dang good backup bank account there and risking, being able to risk and have the guts to do that. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. It's From Montana for Montana as we're celebrating National Egg Day. We'll continue to do that kind of this week and focus a bit on agriculture. This is something that you might not know, too, and these egg facts come from the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. Farmers and ranchers receive only 15 cents on average out of every retail dollar spent on food. And we talk about challenges on the farm and ranch. That's among them. There are other challenges for Montana's farmers and ranchers. Among them are preserving this way of life. And we talk to Chuck Deneau about that frequently because he's the policy director for United Property Owners of Montana. He's worked in nonprofit organizations, grassroots development over the year. They're the main organization that was initiated by farmers and ranchers in the area who were worried about the American Prairie Reserve sopping up a lot of land in the area. We talked to him last time, I guess it was about a year ago, Chuck, and we were looking at what this upcoming legislative session might mean to you. I see that there's things coming out of there. First of all, happy National Egg Day. Thank you for being here. Talk about your growing up on a family ranch in Sidney, Montana.
Oh, sure, Tom, and great to be with you here this morning on this National Egg Day. You know, there's nothing quite like having the opportunity to grow up on a farm or ranch in Montana. You know, it's just a special thing for a kid and teaches some great life lessons and puts you in a good position for the rest of your life. And so I'm just happy to be in a position to give something back and help farmers and ranchers out there who have challenges at a political level and with our government. And they need representation in Helena and D.C. and anywhere else where there's policies that could threaten our way of life and how we do business.
Let's talk about those. Obviously, it's the American Prairie Reserve. There is a recent op-ed that's being circulated, being printed in various publications from Representative Dan Bartle, talking about one way that you're just trying to bring some accountability or at least some honesty in what the American Prairie Reserve is trying to accomplish as a nonprofit organization.
That's right. You know, as a nonprofit, American Prairie Reserve has a lot of tax advantages. You know, they don't pay income taxes on the money that they receive. And in addition to that, the people that contribute to them get a tax deduction. So they're able to go to Silicon Valley and raise millions of dollars. Those people get tax breaks, and APR brings that money back here tax-free and uses it to buy land. And so we've got legislation to stop them from doing that. There's nothing charitable about what American Prairie Reserve is doing. It gives them an advantage where they're able to pay premium prices and outbid young farmers and ranchers who are just trying to get a foothold in Montana. And so we're going to level the playing field. There's no reason why Montana taxpayers should be subsidizing what American Prairie Reserve is doing.
Yeah, and I think that's fair because they're – even though they've got nonprofit status, they're going to work as a for-profit industry if their plans do succeed. They've already purchased 420,000 acres of prime Montana ranch land. What are the locals saying now about that? This battle, how long has it been going on? We've taken certain approaches. I want to ask, too, how successful this legislation might be. But what are the local farmers and ranchers now talking about after they've been united for whatever it is, about 3-4 years?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of growing opposition to American Prairie Reserve. You know, they started out small, over a decade ago. But as they've amassed property over 420,000 acres now, that's caught a lot of people's attention. APR's objective is over 3 million acres of Montana, taking all of that land out of ag production, which would have a tremendous economic shock through Montana's economy, and they're using these tax breaks to do it. So I think people have caught on to what APR is doing. There's a lot of opposition. This bill that we're presenting in the legislature wouldn't prohibit APR from buying ag property. It would just say that they have to do it through a for-profit entity and that they've got to pay taxes just like the rest of us. So it takes their tax advantage away. I think it slows them down a little bit. We still have some work to do to get them stopped completely, but this is a piece of the puzzle.
How tight is this measure? How constitutional is it?
You know, there are 9 other states that have some form of prohibition on corporations, including nonprofits, owning ag property. So there's good precedent for this. The laws in other states that have been challenged constitutionally have all withstood those challenges. So we think we're on really solid legal footing here to make this prohibition. You have to remember that nonprofit organizations are privileged entities. That's why they get the tax breaks that they do. But because of that, we can restrict them in certain ways. And there are all sorts of restrictions we place on the constitutional rights of nonprofit organizations. So this would just be another example of that.
And a lot of this is about preserving Montana's way of life and keeping those prime ranch lands operating as producer ranch lands. Chuck Deneau is with us, policy director for United Property Owners of Montana. I'm reading Representative Bartel's op-ed here, but what's the number on this bill? Where's it at?
It'll be introduced either today or tomorrow, so it doesn't have a bill number yet.
Okay.
But be on the lookout for that. I'm sure there'll be a lot of news about that when it comes out.
What else are you guys doing legislatively?
You know, our other big issue is elk management. That is something that's really been neglected by our Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks over the last decade or so. And we've allowed elk numbers to balloon to almost double what they should be. It's become a real problem for ranchers in certain areas of the state. There's a tremendous amount of crop damage, lost forage, and damage to other types of property like fences. And landowners are providing excellent habitat to elk for the benefit of the sporting public, but they have to foot the bill for all of that. And there comes a tipping point where the numbers just get too high, and I think that's where we're at. So we'd like to see some things done with elk management to reward landowners for the habitat that they provide.
Can you do that on a geographic basis, or you're doing it on a more broad base?
You know, there are certain areas of the state where the problem is worse.
Yeah.
You know, we have these objective levels. Those are kind of the target populations for elk. Some areas of the state, we've got 5 times as many elk or more than we're supposed to have. And interestingly, in all of those districts that are the most over objective, the Fish and Game Commission has chosen to limit the number of permits available for elk hunting. So there's a direct causation there. The commission, the more that they limit hunting opportunities, the higher we see these elk numbers go. I mean, it's just common sense. So that's what the big thing that we're trying to change is to get the commission to stop limiting elk permits in areas that are over objective.
Can you do that outside of passing a law? Because you're looking at policy from an administration or an agency versus codifying something into law. There's always unintended consequences, or there can be with something like that. I mean, it's sort of a heavier hammer. Can you do this outside of that law process and do it more through the administration process?
Yeah, most of this can be done through the existing laws and through the Fish and Game Commission. And
okay.
That's where we'd like to see the policy set. So, you know, we're involved in some legislation, but I think you're right that the best way to do this is through the commission.
There's also another issue in the definition of wild bison. Why is that important?
Sure. Yeah, there's a couple other bills out there that deal with bison. One of them would clarify the definition of domestic bison and wild bison to create a uniform definition through all the state code, including the sections on wildlife and the sections on livestock. There's some discontinuity in those sections today. And it's important because there are some people out there, including the American Prairie Reserve, who think that they could just wave a magic wand and turn domestic bison into wild bison. And it doesn't work that way. The only wild bison that we have in Montana today are down in the park. And that's the way it should be. We shouldn't be importing bison from Canada or from other states and turning them into wild bison that can be free roaming and cause problems in other parts of the state. So that's an important one. Another bill out there would require county commissioners to approve the translocation of any wild bison into their counties. So it's an important measure to have local control when we're talking about introducing a wild bison population. And it's really important because we came pretty close to having that happen last year with the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks issuing a bison management plan and with a very specific goal in mind for placing wild bison in the Missouri Breaks. We were able to get that stopped through some litigation, but I'm not sure people even in that area, the state, realized how close they were to having a wild bison population imposed upon them.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. Chuck DeNoe is with us, Policy Director, United Property Owners of Montana. As I mentioned, worked in nonprofit management and grassroots development and public advocacy for over a decade in Montana, and grew up on a family ranch in Sydney. His wife, Barbara, raised on a ranch near Grant in Beaverhead County. That's kind of cool. They live in Helena right now. So who's the better ranch hand? Is it Barbara or you?
Oh, it's definitely Barb.
Uh-huh.
She was practically born on a horse and loves that way of life. And our daughter, she's an aspiring ranch girl too. So it's just, like I said, there's no better way to grow up. The Montanans that were fortunate enough to live on a ranch growing up are the lucky ones.
This puts you on the spot a little bit here, but think back to those days growing up. Is there a story that kind of comes to mind that you realized developed your future or solidified some of these values that you're trying hard to protect here as a policy director for United Property Owners of Montana?
I guess one thing that comes to mind, I've got three brothers too. I'm right in the middle, but, we spent a lot of time growing up building fence. And, it was only later in life that I realized that Dad didn't really need every fence in the place rebuilt, but, he did it, just to keep us busy during the summer. but it was great getting to work the summers haying and working the cows and building a lot of fence and just doing all that. So I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Is that when you also learned that the middle children do all the work in the family?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
No doubt.
Hey, Chuck, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's catch up after the session too, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom.
Chuck DeNoe, Policy Director, United Property Owners of Montana.